service of morning prayer commences on page 101. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we've sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
In this reading, we hear the song of Moses. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 to 9. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop like the rain, my speech condense like the dew, like gentle rain on grass, like showers on new growth. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. the rock. His work is perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God without deceit, just and upright is he. Yet his degenerate children have dealt falsely with him, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and senseless people? Is not he your Father who created you and made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years long past. Ask your Father, and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High apportioned the nations, when he divided humankind, he fixed the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the gods. The Lord's own portion was his people, Jacob his allotted share.
In this reading, we hear about the most satisfying food. The New Testament reading is from John, chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to each other, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Come to us in your mercy. May I speak in the name of Christ crucified, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Well, I'm sure you all know the perfectly true story that St. Patrick banished the snakes from Ireland. North, south, east and west. Not a snake in the entire land. Well, except for two snakes. And there were two snakes hiding in the grass. And they were playing together. And one snake said to the other, "Do you think we're poisonous?" And the other snake said, "I don't know whether we're poisonous or not. And besides, what does it matter anyway?" And the other snake said, "Well, it matters to me. I think I've just bitten myself." Yes, whether St. Patrick banished snakes or not from Ireland is a matter for yourselves and for your own particular belief. But let's talk about snakes in another sense. First of all, let's talk about snakes in the Bible. And you have, right at the beginning of creation, in the Garden of Eden, what do we find? A snake. A snake that tempted Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. "You shall not be harmed if you eat of this fruit. You will not die. You will live." And so Eve was tempted. And that brought about what we call, in theological terms, the fall of the human race, banished forever from the Garden of Eden. And so the snake became the enemy of all humanity. That snake, of course, was given a character. The snake represented Satan, or the devil himself, tempting us to fall from grace. And whenever God realized that, God put a curse. "Cursed art thou among all. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Words which we hear every year as the first of the nine readings at our carol service. Then we think in the New Testament of another kind of snake. We know that Jesus quite often ran into trouble with the authorities, with the scribes and the Pharisees of his day. Jesus called them, and John the Baptist also called them, "You brood of vipers," poisoning the minds of the ordinary people. "You brood of vipers." Well, there are other snakes as well, unfortunately. And every one of them still active in our own society today. I think of a snake called bigotry. Yes, poisoning the minds of our people, particularly the minds of our young people. The snake that thrives on division, a snake that does not like people coming together and making peace. That is a particularly poisonous snake in our country today. I think also of a snake called incitement, stirring up the crowds for trouble. It was ever thus, wasn't it? Think of the crowds of the people before Pilate, stirring up trouble for Jesus. He said he would destroy this temple and build it up again in 3 days. Crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him. Release Barabbas. Have Jesus crucified. They stirred up Pilate to hand him over. And in our society today, isn't it so easy to stir up trouble, especially through our social means communications? So easy now to fan those flames of hatred. Mob violence in our cities. Plenty of those snakes poisoning our people. I think of another snake with the name Past History attached to it. Closed minds. People not wanting to move on. People not wanting to see change. The sectarian snake. The snake that fragments our community and kills society. That snake is very much in our midst. And very lately, unfortunately, snakes of domestic violence, murder in our streets, in our local community, various kinds of abuses, the snake of disrespect for human life. All of these are a venom poisoning the way we would really wish to live. But Patrick taught a very different kind of way of life, didn't he? He taught a far better life. He taught a life based on the gospel, as lived and proclaimed by Jesus Christ himself. A life based not on poison, but on tolerance, on forgiveness, on peace, on reconciliation. And in dark and heathen Ireland, Patrick saw that that was the only way forward to building hope and security. And if he could do it, then so can we. With prayer, with determination, with Christian boldness, we too can proclaim the gospel of the cross and the Easter light that shines out from it and beyond it into the hearts and into the lives of our people, especially our young. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, to thee we ascribe all might, majesty, dominion, and glory, henceforth, now, and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord,
and grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen,
and grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness,
and let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people,
and bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord,
and let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, may clean our hearts within us,
and renew us by your Holy Spirit.
Collect for today, St. Patrick. Almighty God, in your providence, you chose your servant Patrick to be the apostle of the Irish people, to bring those who are wandering in darkness and error to the true light and knowledge of your word. Grant that, walking in that light, we may come at last to the light of everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favour, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Christ, hear me, Christ, hear my. Hunter is now going to play a beautiful arrangement of the Londonderry air for flute and piano. This arrangement was written by Dr. Edgar Boucher, a former member of this parish, who sadly died in 2003. Billy, as he was fondly known to everyone, was head of music at the BBC Northern Ireland for over 30 years. A great musician who often played the organ here in St. Columba's when our organist emeritus, Gerald Hill, was unavailable.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the world that you have made. We praise you that you not only made the world, but also made us. We thank you for all the colours and shapes we see. We praise you for the beautiful sounds we can hear. We thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. We praise you for minds to think and for hearts to be thankful. We thank you for Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection. We praise you for wanting to make our lives new. Father, we take your good gifts for granted. Our selfishness spoils your world. What we say and do spoils our friendship with you. Lord, we come again to this place where you are worshipped. We come to gather up all we have said and done and thought since we last met, and bring it as part of our offering of thanks and praise. We have come to seek your truth, to praise your glory, and to allow the light of your love to drive the darkness out of our lives. Father, we have come to say that we are sorry. We have come to ask your forgiveness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for those who have stood by us when we were hurting, and loved us even when we were doing wrong. We praise you for men and women who share the plight of those less fortunate than ourselves. for those who work for the good of their neighbour, and for those who go the extra mile and turn the other cheek, for those who do all they can to make others feel accepted and valued. We thank you for those who make no pretense of greatness or superiority, but stand alongside their neighbour, no matter the cost. For those whose gracious words and caring deeds enable others to have self-respect and hope. Thank you for every opportunity to love our neighbour and be representatives of your almighty, humble and holy love. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God of compassion, your love for humanity was revealed in Jesus, whose earthly life began in the poverty of a stable and ended in the pain and isolation on the cross. We hold before you those who are homeless and cold, especially in bitter weather. Draw near and comfort them in spirit, and bless those who work to provide them with shelter, food, and friendship. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we pray for the mentally ill, for all who are of a disturbed and troubled mind. Be to them light in their darkness, their refuge and strength in time of fear. Give special skills and tender hearts to all who care for them. Show them how best to assist in your work of healing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the cold, dank January wood, a snowdrop lightens our winter darkness with its soft gleam. Tightly closed at first, its pale bud suddenly bursts into wonderful green, lace-edged delicacy, fluttering bravely above frost and snow. Lord, may we be like your snowdrop this Lenten tide, at first tightly closed in upon ourselves, as we are once more drawn into the story of Christ's life and passion, yet ready to burst out in joy and thanksgiving at the glory of Easter Sunday. May our faith shine out bravely, lightening the darkness of the winter's world, so that it blossoms into the spring of new life in Christ. Amen.
Is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own
we give you. Please be seated. I do hope that you can wait behind to enjoy refreshments hosted by the Men's Club before you make your way home after this service. And all details of the activities of this week are in the Pew News for your reference. Tomorrow in Down Cathedral at 11:45, the Diocesan St. Patrick's Day service takes place, which is followed by stew and apple tart in a marquee in the cathedral grounds. I do hope that you will be able to come along if you can. You'll be very welcome, and I look forward to seeing those from St. Columba's who will gather at the cathedral. The annual Easter General Vestry meeting is on Wednesday week, the 27th of March at 7:30. All are welcome, but only those who are registered vestry persons can vote at the elections during that meeting. On Sunday, April the 7th at 7 p.m, we're going to have the very great privilege here in St. Columba's of hosting Stainer's Crucifixion, a most inspirational and moving choral work reflecting the passion of Christ as he journeys to the cross. We are very fortunate indeed that Father Martin O'Hagan from the Priests is going to be singing tenor, Eric Hines, well known to us from Knock Methodist, singing bass, along with the great work being done by our parish choir and Dr. Joe McKee. The organist is going to be Jack Wilson from St. Anne's Cathedral, and those of you who come to choral evensong will know Jack, as he often plays the organ at that service. I do hope that you can come to be with us for this, and not just yourselves, but to encourage your neighbours and your friends and wider family members to come to share in this very, very inspirational evening, a week before Holy Week starts. It'll be a very powerful way for us to begin to reflect on the enormity of the sacrifice that Christ made for all of us on the cross. There will be refreshments served before we make our way home from that evening, and there is a suggested minimum donation of £10. It's very, very fitting indeed that St. Patrick's Day this year falls on a Sunday, when people throughout the world are going to stop to reflect on the life, witness, and ministry of Patrick, for his commitment to his vocation to serve God and to encourage people to turn to the Christian faith and to promote a love of God and a love of neighbour wherever their circumstance and situation may be. As we've gathered here this morning to celebrate Patrick, people in other churches and cathedrals around the world will be stopping to do likewise. That message, that witness, and that ministry of Patrick is very, very poignant in our world today, not least following the atrocities at Christchurch in New Zealand last week, when I'm sure you, like me, were horrified when you saw on our news reports of the atrocities of what one individual did to those who were practicing their faith in their custom at a time of worship. Into such horrendous darkness must come even a flicker of the light of the gospel of Christ to enter in, to give the strength and the support that is needed for the people of Christ Church and those in New Zealand at a time of devastation and at a time of enormous loss. Our prayers must go firstly to those who have been bereaved. Our prayers go to all those who have been injured and those who have been traumatized. Our prayers go with the work of the emergency services for that they did and are doing at a most difficult and volatile time. Never before has the ministry of Patrick been so necessary to be heard and to be proclaimed and to be shared, where goodness can overcome evil and where light can overcome darkness. As we continue to reflect on Patrick throughout today, and tomorrow in Down Cathedral, let us also ensure that we can play our part in promoting the Christian faith to offer hope, light, and kindness to all those that we meet, irrespective of their background or tradition, as we continue to live out the 40-day challenge here in St. Columba's to do just that. And there is a real need for us to do just that at this time, as we stand shoulder to shoulder with those in Christchurch in New Zealand. Let us pray. We observe for a moment silence. In that silence, to commend before God the peoples of Christ Church in New Zealand at this time, that you, O Lord, will enter into the horrendous situation there to offer the support that is needed. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are suffering at this time, those who are bereaved, and those who are traumatized. We think at this moment of those in Christchurch in New Zealand, and those known to us in different circumstances and in different situations, who are in need of healing, who are in need of comfort, who are in need of support, and who are in need of blessing. May we be encouraged by the life, witness, and ministry of Patrick. And may we go forward encouraged by Patrick through the hardships that he faced and experienced, and go forward with fresh confidence to promote the Christian faith, to offer light and hope to all. Remember, Lord, what you've done for us and not what we deserve. And as you've called us to serve you, make us worthy of our calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. God, who in the days of old gave to this land the benediction of his holy church, fill you with his grace to walk faithfully in the steps of the saints and to bring forth fruit to his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you on this St. Patrick's Day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.